You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Kate Galley. Kate offered me a pair of words that from the moment I first read them on her guest pitch, I just really thought they were fantastic together. And those words are angry vegan. So I encourage you to right now think about what you think that might mean, and we're going to see if you're right. So now, if you're ready, I'm ready too. So let's go. Kate Galley, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Amy, it is my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am indeed. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I asked you this right before we got started, but I'm going to ask you again because I begin almost all my interviews with asking people where they call home. So tell us where you are today.
I am in Noosa on the Sunshine Coast, Queensland, Australia. So across the other side of the world.
All the way across the globe for me. That's one of my favorite things about the time that we live in now is that I get to have these amazing conversations with people who can be nowhere near me. It really, really is fun. I love it. So on that note, I also love to learn a little bit about the people I'm talking to before we dive into the topic of the day. So outside of the topic of business, outside kind of anything else, just tell us a little bit about you so that we can get to know you. Maybe you can share something about your family if you want, or a hobby, or the names of your pets, whatever comes to mind, but just a little bit about you before we get into the topic of the day.
We'll probably speak more to my family with the topic of the day. However, I'm a single woman, no children, moved from Sydney, where I lived for 25 years, just over a year ago, to a quieter pace of life in what I like to call paradise here in Noosa. And I recently retired from 19 years as a personal trainer to focus purely on the online side of my business, books, podcasting, online coaching, and such. And it feels like a much calmer and more aligned life. So I'm super grateful for that.
That is really exciting. All right. So very good. I think I once had a pair of shoes that was called Noosa. It's got to be named after that part of the world. I think
maybe.
Or it's just a random piece of information stuck in my brain, not related to anything, could be wrong. So moving on, let's start by talking about what you chose as your topic for today, which is how you decided to stop being an angry vegan. And I have to say that when you put those words together in the pitch, I really was like, oh, that's a good combination of words, angry vegan. Does that sound like a good conversation for today?
That is a perfect conversation for today, and it relates to so much more than just stopping being an angry vegan, right? I hope no one's turned off by the V word. Some people are. You know, disclaimer, I am still just as passionate about the vegan lifestyle. However, I'm all about being effective. And when you really care about something, you know, whether it's religion, whatever it may be, those really contentious topics, politics right now, whatever it may be, it can cause conflict. My hard learned lesson, brutally learned lesson, is to focus on love and compassion, not anger and frustration. And I will say, Amy, I was having this thought just before we started. Your podcast is about imperfect adulting, right? Yes. And you use the word adulting, it brings to mind the fact that a lot of us are here in our life and we feel like we're not even grown up yet, right? Where adulting is quite, are we even doing this? And I look back in my life and I think of the things that I can't even imagine that I got through them, right? And we're going to discuss one of those moments today. And here we are adulting and doing it, even though we still feel like we're not grown up. I think there are lots of valuable lessons in that.
I love that. And the reason I chose the word adult instead of something else is because it is broader than the other words. So when I started talking to people about this first concept, over and over again, people kept saying, well, do you mean parents? And I was like, not really, because only half of the adults on the planet our parents, and yet so much of what we do is that. And we're not parents for all of our adulting. You know, it's actually a small portion. And every time you narrow it down like that, it makes it sound like there's a special answer for people based on that identity subset. And then it's also tied to like sort of a joke that has been floating around in my life pretty much forever, which is that scenario where you're in a situation, and it can happen when you're a new graduate, you step into your first grown-up job, or it can happen at a million other times, and you find that people are looking at you, expecting you to do something, and you realize that in that situation, you are the adult, and you don't feel like that. You want to look over your shoulder and say, wait a minute, there's somebody else that should be answering this question. How can I be the adult in this situation? And so those were the two influences for the name. I want to, while we're talking about words, let's do this. I want to get everybody on the same page so that we're not confusing people. And I want you to talk a little bit about the word vegan just as a base concept, like share how you define it and that kind of stuff.
All right, amazing. I will say that internet connection was coming and going a little bit there, but okay. I think I got the gist of that. We're going the V word. For me, vegan, I'm vegan for the animals, right? And it is an ethical decision where I align my actions with my values, with the compassion. I have a belief that animals are here with us, not for us. Plant-based is quite different. It's a healthy way of eating. It's framed around the fuel that you feed your body. And a lot of people are plant-based for health reasons, maybe even for environmental reasons. Generally, the V word comes in when it's about doing the least possible and practical harm to animals, avoiding all forms of animal exploitation, be that the food, the entertainment, the clothing we wear, all of it. However, I don't get hung up on words anymore. Maybe I picked, you know, problems with them in the past. Right now, my approach is to welcome plant curious people on board, whatever level of plant curiousness they've got, and for whatever reason. As a vegan health coach, I am here to help smooth the way for them and help them avoid so many of the mistakes that I made.
Beautiful, beautiful. So let's talk a little bit more about that origin story of animal consciousness and how you got there. A little bit more about when, why, and how you were introduced to your vegan lifestyle.
Absolutely. I was that typical little girl who loved animals and ate animals. I can even remember declaring I could never be vegetarian. I ate meat 3 times a day until I didn't, until I had a conversation with the girl at school. I became vegetarian overnight at 16. I didn't do it healthily at first. It was all about everything I was avoiding, not about the abundant food I was including. Eventually, I got the health component right. I became a personal trainer. And, you know, I was a vegetarian personal trainer advocating a high protein, low carbohydrate vegetarian diet for about a decade. I don't advocate that super low carbohydrate, high protein approach now. However, it was about a decade I'd been vegetarian for the animals. I watched the documentary Cowspiracy, and I realized that if I was vegetarian for the animals, actually I needed to be vegan for the animals. They were still dying for my food choices. I was consuming up to 21 free-range organic egg whites a day. My approach, Amy, was not balanced. Like, I had a fit, strong body. I was really confident in it, worked well, it looked good. However, it wasn't a balanced approach to nutrition or life, to be frank. And I was fearful. I knew that I needed to make the change. I gave myself a tough talking to, and I basically said, look, it's not about your own vanity. You might gain a bit of fat, lose a bit of muscle, heaven forbid, but it's about more than that, right? It's about aligning your actions with your values. I went vegan overnight. I rocked into the gym bro gym that I was a personal trainer at the time, and I was already weird for being vegetarian. I announced to the boys that I'm going vegan, like we all announced, Amy, I know that. And the pushback I got from one of the other trainers was, well, goodbye lean muscle mass then. And he was wrong. I was wrong. Nothing bad happened. Only good things happened. And that was a little over 9 years ago now.
All right. Very good. So now let's introduce the concept of the anger and talk a little bit.
Yeah.
About this. So when you pitched this, when you said angry vegan, I will admit that my imagination went to a particular place, but you and I are just meeting for the first time. So I actually have no idea if my imagination went to the right place, if I'm on the right track. What do you mean when you say you were an angry vegan?
I think it went to the right track. You know, when I discovered that I had been vegetarian for 23 years because I didn't want animals to die for my food choices and they were still dying, I was still eating dairy, eggs, all of that. I was really angry because I'd been lied to. I believe we've all been lied to. I was also really angry because the compassionate people in my life who I love, I felt that all I needed to do was share the same information with them and they would make the same decision that I had. They all love animals, right? We all love animals. And so there was a lot of frustration and anger, both that I had still been contributing to this cycle of cruelty, and also that other people who, you know, were so loving and compassionate towards, say, their companion animals, could have the blinders on so far as these other thinking, feeling, sentient individuals that we slaughter by the billions every single year, you know? So that was the anger. I got deeply involved in animal rights activism. I kind of needed to seek out my community, find other people that felt the same way. And that was both a blessing and not, because I made amazing friendships, yet also it kind of strengthened the wall between me and all my existing friends, family, clients, colleagues that weren't vegan. They weren't on the same page. And again, our listeners, you can make this applicable to your politics or anything, right? It relates to anything. Any decision that you make aligned with your values and your beliefs that you care deeply about, possibly your life is committed to it, as mine is, that the people you love most, they just don't get it. And I was to learn, it's not that they don't get it, it's that we all have a different map of the world, right? Which is an NLP presupposition, and it basically means that we all have different values and beliefs and goals and priorities, and more so what we make each of those things mean, right? So for me, my number one values are freedom and integrity. To have freedom and integrity in my life, once I discovered this information, I needed to change my actions and I needed to do it overnight. That's just me. So this anger built up, and it really was causing friction, is the biggest understatement. It was causing massive conflict in my deepest relationships.
So you mentioned something that I want to make sure everybody knows. You mentioned NLP, which stands for neuro-linguistic programming, which so that if people are wondering what you were talking about, that's what those letters mean. And then I want to recap what I hear you saying, which is that this is deeply important to you and it aligns with your values, but it was creating a lot of conflict because whenever you came into resistance, when other people did not immediately see the world the way you did and make the same choices, that was problematic. And that you were having internal conflict with the fact that you felt like if you had had different information, you would have made this decision earlier. Those are the two points, pretty much.
Yeah. I didn't waste too much time on guilt because I actually scanned my brain and I couldn't remember any instances where, for example, I'd walked past the vegan activists on the street with the slaughterhouse footage, like what I would hold for years. I didn't have any instances of walking past that. The first time I saw the documentary, I took action. So I think I turned that frustration I did turn into action. Right.
Okay.
But yes, you are right in terms of my relationships with non-vegan loved ones. And, you know, I do want to say to all my angry vegan friends out there, if there are any of you listening, you know, my heart is with you. Like, I have so much respect and understanding for the angry vegan. I get it. When something feels so urgent and is so urgent, anger at lack of action and apathy can be really natural. However, I came to learn what is effective. And if something is deeply important to you, you need to focus on what is effective rather than what your natural gut passionate reaction is.
I can see that. I think that many people will have had experiences with friends and loved ones who have different eating styles and preferences. And I definitely know that these days when I am planning an event where there is food, I try and really understand what my guests and my friends are dealing with. And when I deal with people who I know have selective eating habits, I will sometimes ask, is it, where are you on this scale? Like, so you only eat these things, that's fine. If there's meat in the table, where are you in this? Like, if there's meat in the refrigerator, should we just go to a restaurant where you're more comfortable? Like, where are you on the scale? Because I just try and be sensitive to the fact I want everybody to have a good time and go from there. But I think that hopefully most people have had some experience with people who have differing eating choices, whether it's because of medical needs or relationship with food or concern for the planet or compassion for animals. And I know I have had conversations and relationships with people who I would now classify as angry vegans, although I didn't have those words until you gave them to me. So I want to say thank you for that. So now let's go a little bit deeper and talk about what happened in your life that you would credit with pushing you to make the change away from showing up the way that you did.
It absolutely was a push. I like to think I would have got there on my own. I'm not sure I would have. So probably about 6 or 7 years ago now, I got a phone call from my mom, and I always used to go home for Christmas. Home was Noosa at that point in time. I was living in Sydney still. And she said, "Katie, I don't know what to do about Christmas. You are this animal rights activist. Your dad is anti-vegan. Christmas is all about the food." Food was how mum showed love, and she was the most amazing cook you've met. And she said, "I don't know what to do unless you want to mastermind a vegan feast and sell the family on it." And I am like, down for that, mum. I'll mastermind the feast. Maybe you could sell the family. Anyway, I cooked 6 new dishes. They were amazing. It was a great Christmas. Mum was super grateful for all the hard work that I'd been to and the deliciousness. It's a really effective approach. And the day before I went home back to Sydney, she said, "Katie, will you watch What the Health with me?" Now, What the Health is a documentary that I had been emotionally blackmailing both of my parents to watch since I turned vegan. Disclaimer, emotional blackmail doesn't work. They hadn't watched it, weren't interested. After I went to all of this effort, Mum was like, "All right, I'll watch this thing." She watched it as a nurse of 30 odd years. She was moved by the sick care system we have rather than a preventative health care system, and also not the plight of animals yet. However, the plight of, I guess, lower socioeconomic communities impacted by large scale animal agriculture. And she said, "I'm going to try this plant based thing for 2 weeks." Fast forward several years of mum being plant-based, listening to my podcasts, watching all the most horrific documentaries out there, becoming much more vegan, much more animal rights activist, strengthened our relationship beyond belief, even though she was already my number one person. We were already so close. Wasn't good for her relationship with my father, who still remained the antique vegan and had a lot of resentment towards me for having this influence on my mother. Fast forward to about a bit over 3 years ago now, and I got the phone call from my father that I always thought I'd get from my mother. My dad's not that healthy in the way he thinks or treats his body, and I always thought I'd get the phone call from mum to say, "Katie, it's your dad." And I got the phone call from dad to say, "Kate, it's your mother." And mum had died. I'd spoken to her on a Sunday morning, and by Sunday afternoon, she was gone. And just this sudden shock, anyone listening who knows when something just so completely out of the blue. No, it wasn't a lifestyle related illness that we had a little hint of warning. And that's just as hard. However, this is a different shocking type of a hard.
Yeah.
And obviously, it didn't happen overnight because I was in shock for I don't even know how long. However, I had two realizations over the course of the next 12 months or so. One was that my grief and shock was so overwhelming, I no longer had the energy to hold that level of anger and frustration to all the non-vegans in my life. I just didn't have the energy. And two, with my mum, there were zero regrets. We knew how much we loved and respected each other. If that had been my father, I would have had regrets because we didn't have a good relationship. And a huge part of that was my judgment over his actions. And, people meet your energy, they meet what you bring to them. And, if they're feeling judgment, they're going to get defensive. So I made a decision to stop being an angry vegan. And I've thought about this a lot because I want to make it actionable to my friends out there who are still angry with whatever is most important to them in their life. And the first that, I kind of came up with a bit of an ABC, and the A is an awareness of the way that you're being in the world right now. How's it going to look for you in 6 months' time, in 12 months' time, in 24 months' time? If nothing changes, how is this way of being in the world going to impact your life and relationships? And Amy, it wasn't looking good. So that's the A. The B is to brainstorm. I actually actively thought of the things I needed to stop doing and the things I needed to start doing. So I actually stopped going to some of those animal rights activism events. I stopped sharing the horrific videos online. Didn't mean that I didn't care. It just meant to share. I needed to look, and also I got the feedback from other people. And I started having the sharing the delicious meals, sharing the good news conversations. Good news stories, having the easy conversations with people who had an open mind and an open heart, and avoiding those conversations. We all know them. You're going into a conversation about something you really care deeply about, and the other person's just up for a debate. They're
Oh,
just in it for
sure.
the game, right?
Yeah.
So I stopped doing that. The final point, the C, is why I'm quite vocal about why I stopped being an angry vegan. C is a commitment to yourself, but also communicating it more broadly, because you better bet people are going to hold me accountable. When little mad, passionate, angry vegan Kate wants to rear her head, and she does nearly every day, if I let that anger come out, people are going to call me on it. It's a form of accountability and a commitment to the way that I want to be in the world.
I love those. I love those. One of the tools that I sometimes give people in family conversations is to imagine that your life is a movie. And I share this because it ties into some of the NLP visualization things. So imagine that your life is a movie and you're watching. Think about how it would be played back. Like if your life is a movie and the way you're behaving, think about how it would be played back, and will you be happy with how your character is represented in the movie? And sometimes in the heat, I mean, we all lose our cool when we're under pressure and in emotional things. And everybody has things that we're passionate about, but it is sometimes a helpful tool because you look at it and you're like, oh, do I want to be the person in my family who's constantly yelling and screaming, about these things? And so I think that that's the awareness of how you want to show up. I think that's really, really helpful. It is unfortunate as a human being. There's so many people that I talk to, and I've lived it myself, that the loss of somebody close to us is the push that we need to see that we want to make a change in our behavior or in our lifestyle. It feels like an unfortunate thing, but it also is just kind of maybe the fabric of who we are as humans. After my dad died, I no longer had the patience to be frustrated in traffic. I just rarely get frustrated. I mean, it's not that I don't get frustrated, but like you're saying, I will look at it and say, "Hi, this is frustrating," and then I'm just not going to give it the energy to, to rant and rail about it because life is too short, right? So that
It's so
is,
true.
yeah. And I think that, I think that there are many of these things. And so I do think it's unfortunate that sometimes it takes these extreme benchmarks in our life. But I also just see that so often that maybe I'm just going to accept that sometimes that's just the way we are. If so, maybe sometimes we don't need that, but I don't think it helps to judge ourselves like, oh, it shouldn't take that for us to do these things.
I
Maybe.
think also we are meaning-making machines, and I knew there was never any silver lining when the worst thing ha in the world happens, when you lose your number one person. There's no, hey, look on the bright side, there just isn't. However, maybe you're desperate to make a positive change because of that, and I also viewed the way that I was now being in the world, leading with love, compassion, deliciousness. I viewed that as a way to honor mum because that's the way that she was in the world. So in my mind, if she's looking down, you know, I want to make her proud and lead in that way. And, you know, she was always the peacekeeper between dad and I. She's not there to do that anymore. So it's kind of down on me to step up and to do that, to, I guess, have higher expectations of myself and more realistic expectations of him.
It is interesting that in this dynamic in your family, you were very passionate about it and you describe your dad as being anti, because that creation of the two teams that people can't be just aware of the other just is, it can be a really frustrating situation. It's like, okay, let's just let it be and move forward and be friends. But that's not always possible. That's not always possible. I understand that, but it is that. So what, so your mom, you and your mom connected on plant-based and vegan living before she passed away, which is a beautiful part of the story. Your mom passes away. What are some of the ways that your life has shifted since you made this change away from living in the anger? I want to make shirts for you that say angry vegan. I don't know why. Or non-angry, former angry vegan.
Yeah, I say ex-angry vegan. Ex-angry vegan. You know, whatever resonates, right? I have so much more energy to direct towards the stuff that is important, that does have an impact. You know, early days, I probably had a little bit of guilt about not flying the flag all the time. And, you know, I used to say, like, you know, always be advocating for the animals, never miss an opportunity, always be on. That is exhausting and it's not effective. And as you hinted at, sometimes you don't want to be that person all the time. However, when you're focusing more on what you have in common with the people you love, as hard as it can be to find at some points in time, but when you're focusing on the good in the world, on what you have in common with other people, it's just not only a more effective, but a more joyful approach. And you know, the other thing that mum going so suddenly taught me, you know, there's no guarantees. We have no idea when it all ends for any of us. And that means even if you have huge goals, which I still do, you can walk towards those huge goals and also make time to prioritize enjoying the journey. And that's something that I focused on so much more. It's probably part of why I left the big city and moved to paradise, because it's all about enjoying the day-to-day, because right, there's no guarantees.
Right. There's also, one of the things I remind myself and anybody else who gets into the conversation with me is there's no prize at the end of this journey of life. So, you know, I think that it often can be a mistake to postpone things that we want to really do to some non-existent future time, because you hear the stories all the time of people who want to do things and never get the chance. And so we don't always have the option to do everything that's on our list, but when we do, we should try and do it before we don't have the chance. Okay. So, and then when you moved home to Noosa, did that mean you were moving home closer to your dad?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel so much closer to mum, which is a huge part of why I moved here. You know, so it was a combination of things. A multitude of things. I was probably done with the big city and with, you know, huge hours of personal training and living in an area where it was all about the chase and the money and the prestige and the vanity. I lived in a beautiful part of a beautiful city, but it was very much about wealth as a priority, and I loved it for the many years that I was there. However, it was very much time to be done and just to slow down. And mum didn't love Sydney. She didn't visit it very often at all, but I feel her here in Noosa, and that's absolutely a blessing.
Very nice. Now, so what kind of support, if any, did you have or did you need? Was this a solo journey, dropping the anger, or were there people around you supporting you as you made the choice to be more rooted in love and compassion than anger?
It wasn't a solo journey. However, I can be a bit of a lone wolf. I will say a couple of things. I probably clung to my keystone habits for desperate life. So those habits that you work into your day and your week to keep you happy and healthy, I didn't let any of them go. I just they were like my foundation, I guess, to know that I was still, I don't know, making any sort of progress in the world. So stuff like exercise and nutrition and meditation. So far as friendships and clients and all of that, hopefully anyone that's gone through losing the most important person relates. Like, you just want to speak to people who have been there or who have experienced even worse. I don't know what human condition that is, but like, as well-meaning as the people who love you most are, and as much as you do remember the people who had the courage to have the hard conversations and you do remember the people who didn't bother, equally you seek out people who really do get exactly what you're going through. And that is part of why I'm committed to having these conversations on podcasts, because there was a time when I listened to podcasts about grief and I actively sought out the conversations where people had lost their mother and maybe even had lost their mother at an even younger age. You know, that was part of the process for me and my healing. And apart from that, I guess it was just time, as cliched as it is.
Sure. I mean, grief is one of the most studied transitions that we go through, and there's that comes with a blessing and a non-blessing in that there are lots of people to line up that want to tell you, you know, how you'll go through it and what you'll experience. And sometimes it'll resonate and sometimes it won't. But when my father passed away well over a decade and a half ago, and one of the things that I thought was a really good description was that you are joining a club that you never wanted to belong to. And we, even though it is so, there's no part of the experience of life where we think, oh, well, we're going to live forever and our parents are going to, well, maybe more kids, we don't think about it. But very few people are ready to go through that. And very few, we don't know other people to talk to about it at the start. It's a really interesting thing. But in my experience, which was maybe slightly different, it was obvious we were different people, so it was slightly different. It was so helpful to have people show up to be by my side who could reflect back to me that they had been through that journey and meet me where I was 100%. And give me grace and all of the things that were there, because you just feel like you're walking through the world, you know, with, you know, no, it's like, you know, everything is brighter, everything is weirder for a little while. It's really a hard thing to go through. And yet most of us will do it. You know, parents are not supposed to, what is it saying? I mean, parents are not supposed to outlive their kids. Is that right? So when we lose our parents, that's the way it's supposed to go. Doesn't make it any more fun.
Absolutely. So yeah. Well said.
Yeah. All right. So in a minute, we're going to do the final questions. I want to give you a chance to tell people what you're doing now for your job. You've talked about the fact that you were a personal trainer and you're focusing online. Tell us what you do and how people can find you. You don't need to spell out any links or anything, because I'll put them in the show notes so people can just read them.
Thank you, Amy. Probably the thing I am most passionate about right now is a book I wrote. It's dedicated to my dear mom. It's called The Plant Positive Journal. And basically, it holds all of the most effective mindset steps and strategies that I learned over almost two decades as a personal trainer to living a fit, strong, healthy life. And if you're up for it, which I hope you are, making it a little bit more plant positive. So it's a planner, it's a daily journal. It takes up a lot of my time. I do a new one every couple of years. So the second one is recently out. Online, I'm a vegan health coach, completely aligned now with my values and beliefs. So I help people who are any level of plant curious thrive with plants. And we step through clarity, confidence, and consistency. I think they are the three things that you need in any big lifestyle change, right? I've worked with thousands of individuals now over the past couple of decades. And, you know, mindset is the foundation that like sets up your future success, or when you neglect it, makes everything that you're trying to do struggle street and a constant battle about you. So again, very mindset focused. And all of that's just via strongbodygreenplanet.com.
Very nice. I heard a quote today, something totally unrelated, that was talking about mindset, and it was saying that if you don't have it set up in alignment like you're talking about, that what you're actually doing is creating a mental prison, which I thought was a really good visual description of the difference between the two things. So that fits there. All right. So what you also have a wonderful special offer for the audience, which is a 20% discount on the Plant Positive Journal. This, you guys, is it's an amazing thing. It's a 468-page daily planner created to help individuals master their time and their mind. And if you're watching this on the video, she's holding up a picture of it, which is fantastic. It's available if you're not in Australia, it's available as a PDF, but if you want to get the printed version, it's also there. There's a link for this in the show notes, and I send it out in the email newsletter, 20% off with the code podcast. Thank you so much for that very generous offer for the audience. That is really fantastic, Kate. I appreciate it. So, if you're ready, now we're going to go to the final three questions,
Let's do it.
rapid fire questions. What would you say is your favorite sweet treat?
I'm so much more a savory girl. What is a sweet treat? Anything salted caramel, I would say. And
Okay.
anything can be vegan, so a salted caramel ice cream or something.
What is your favorite? This is an extra bonus question, but for as far as the vegan ice creams go, what's your favorite sort of base?
Again, I don't usually make them.
Okay.
Mine would be healthier. It would be made with frozen bananas, even though I
Oh
don't
yeah,
actually
the
love
frozen
bananas, but
banana
it
and you
would
whip it
probably.
up. Yep.
Yeah, I make a
Yeah.
great tofu mousse. Again, that's chocker full of protein. So maybe I'd go the tofu mousse.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. Tofu is one of those mystery things on the planet that can be almost any texture or taste. It's a little bit bizarre when you think about all the different ways tofu can be used, but that's a topic for a different day. Do you read
Indeed.
or listen to books? I know you've written the planner, but do you read it or listen to books? And do you want to share with us one of the last books you may have read?
I definitely read. I listen to podcasts like it a lot, but one of my favorite books is The World Peace Diet by Dr. Will Tuttle. He is, whenever I think, whose energy do I want to spend time with? And I've had the honor of interviewing him a few times now. Dr. Will Tuttle is the man that I go to for that calm, open-hearted energy that is just so rare. And his book, The World Peace Diet, it just kind of made all the pieces come together for me. All these separate jigsaw puzzle of pieces came together in that mammoth book. I really recommend it.
Very nice. All right. So I know you just went through this big move from Sydney to Noosa, but when you take vacations, do you choose to travel somewhere far and somewhere very exciting and exotic, maybe? Every place is far from Australia. I mean, Australia is enormous, but if you're going to leave Australia, every place is far. Or do you like to stay closer to home and do staycation type things?
So I am very much currently a closer to home lady because I have just prioritized business for the past couple of decades, I'll say, and not vacations. The enjoying the journey has very much been a recent learning for me in the past couple of years. And so maybe I'll do something big and exciting and exotic in the future. Right now I'm too focused. It's just not a priority.
Very good. So closer to home it is. Luckily, you live in a paradise that you
I
love.
do. I do. A
That
hundred
is
percent.
very good. All right, that's it, Kate. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest on the show today.
Amy, this has been so much fun. Thank you for your open-minded and generous questions, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.